And I am so grateful that Pastor John invited me to be with you today. As Dick mentioned, I grew up in Crooksville, just 8 miles down the road is where I'm from. I'm a ceramic, all right? So currently, my wife and kids and I, we live in Powell, Ohio, just north of the Columbus Zoo. I currently serve as the assistant to the district superintendent in the Capital Area South District of the United Methodist Church up in Columbus. Just before I get started here, I want to tell you a little bit about my family because I have that privilege this morning. How about that? My wife grew up in Morgan County. She's a Raider. How about that? And that back row is just full of Raiders and ceramics. I love that. My wife and I, Amy, and I have been married 23 years. We have three children. Our daughter, Bethany, is 20 years old, and she is a student at the Ohio State University, where I pay the tuition. our second child, a son, Luke, he's 18. He'll be graduating from high school in just a few weeks, 9 days, as he tells me. And he'll be going to Ohio University in Athens. So he'll be a fourth-generation Bobcat in our family. Looking forward to that. And he'll be joining his nephew, who's in the Marching 110 down there. Our youngest son is Clay. He's in the seventh grade. He's just trying to survive the seventh grade. So prayers would be very much appreciated for that young man as he tries to figure things out in middle school. Pastor John asked me to come today and continue in this sermon series, More Than a Feeling. He's been talking about various feelings that we have as human beings, as followers of Jesus, that oftentimes we need to turn back to the promises of God and remind that the feelings that we have sometimes don't match up with what our faith tells us. And we need to learn to rely more on the promises of God. If I recall, Pastor John preached on the feeling of being defeated. I feel defeated was Pastor John's first message. Last week, Pastor Nancy preached about I feel afraid. I feel afraid. Today, I've been given the task to talk about what it means when I feel alone. When I feel alone. A couple of things that I think is consistent in the messages of this series is the question that was often asked to the early Methodist, how is it with your soul? And so I just ask you that today, how is it with your soul? Do you sense God's presence and God's nearness in your life, especially as we've gathered here today? I so appreciated Holy Communion. Oftentimes we rush through Holy Communion, but this morning we took time. I appreciate that. We took time to reflect on the presence of Christ with us through this sacrament and through the presence of His Holy Spirit in His Holy Church. And so I don't want to remind you today, when you feel alone, you're not alone. Okay, Christ is present with His people. Amen? Amen? If we're going to get along today, we got to have some give and take, all right? Now, there's a passage that I think has been consistent in all the messages that you've heard, and that's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. In that passage, we read these words, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." This morning I want to focus on the person of Joshua from the Old Testament. I want to read from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And in this passage, we get to discover what God speaks to Joshua as he takes over the leadership of the people of Israel from Moses. Moses has passed away. Joshua steps into leadership. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Let me say that line again. That's critical to the promise that God is giving to Joshua in this passage. And it is critical to our understanding of God's presence with us. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this Sabbath morning in which we've gathered in this church to worship and praise the name of Jesus Christ. We invite your Holy Spirit into our midst, into our lives. We invite your presence into the very things that we wrestle with and struggle with. And we pray this morning that we would be reminded of your great promises to all of your people, especially this morning as we focus on the promise you made to Joshua. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Grant us the faith this morning, Father, to take hold of that promise for ourselves. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now on the screen, I hope you're going to see this picture. It's a picture from about 1974. Now on the left side of the picture is my grandmother. On the right side of the picture is my grandfather. And in the middle is little Davy. All right, and this is a Christmas picture from 1974. My family surprised me with a Christmas puppy. Everybody all at the same time go, aw, wah. It's just the cutest little thing in the world, don't you think? I thought so too. I had the great privilege of growing up next door to my grandparents. Now, my biological grandfather, he passed away before I was born. I never got the chance to know him or meet him. I heard a lot about him. My grandmother remarried when I was about five, and so the man you see on the screen, he became my only grandfather, the only one I ever knew. He passed away when I was in high school. But my grandmother continued to live alone for actually another 10 years after he passed. And I can remember as a teenager going to grandma's house just next door, and grandma would be there alone. And sometimes I would find her playing a card game. Solitaire. Now, this was before computers. This was the real deal. Cards on the table, kind of solitaire, all right? And so she taught me how to play solitaire. And what I learned is that solitaire is a lonely game. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's a game you play alone. If you've ever played solitaire, you know that it is a game you play alone. It's not easy to play solitaire with somebody else, especially when they're looking over your shoulder saying, put the queen on the king, right? But my grandmother played solitaire a lot to pass the time because she was alone. And as I look back at that time, I begin to recognize how she navigated life as someone who was living alone. You know, what I've learned over the years is that an unprecedented number of Americans are lonely. An unprecedented number of Americans are lonely. And maybe you're here today and you're part of that group of people who you consider, you know, I live alone. I'm kind of alone in what I do. I spend most of my time by myself. And the ironic part of the statement is, if you're part of the unprecedented number of Americans that are lonely, you're not alone. That's the irony of that statement, isn't it? If we're lonely, we're not alone. I looked up some different studies that have been done on the effects of loneliness. Sociologists at Duke University, as well as the University of Arizona, they did a study that featured 1,500 face-to-face interviews. 1,500 people were interviewed face-to-face. And what they discovered is that one out of every four persons that they interviewed expressed feelings of loneliness. 25% of us have experienced feelings of loneliness at one point or another. We know what that's like, don't we? To feel alone. But what I want you to hear today is that loneliness oftentimes is linked to ailments in our lives, physical ailments, mental ailments. When we're lonely, studies have demonstrated that it's related to sleep disorders, it's related to high blood pressure, it's related to an increased risk of depression, even a risk of suicide. Too many of us are going through life feeling as though we have nobody else to share our triumphs or our troubles with. I drove an hour and a half to get here this morning to tell you that you are not alone. That's my sole purpose this morning, is to remind you that when you feel alone, you're not alone. If you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, if you belong to the body of Christ, the church, you're not alone, friend. I fought the traffic on 270 this morning in Columbus to get here to tell you this. You're not alone. Praise be to God. Being lonely increases our risks. In fact, it has an impact on our life expectancy. Now, as I look around this room, I see a lot of people that perhaps may be in a category of the demographics that experience loneliness. But do you know who the most lonely people in our society are today? Studies show that the most lonely people in our society today are young people, specifically college freshmen. Think about this. A young person grows up their whole life in a community. They build friends and networks of social relationships in schools. They graduate and they go off to school where they know nobody. And instantly their life changes. They have to learn new routines and make new relationships. And young people in our society today are some of the loneliest people that we could possibly know. That's why it's important you pray for your young people, for your grandkids, and for the kids in your church as they go off to school or wherever it is they go. It's interesting that we can feel lonely even when we're surrounded by people all around us. Young people today are often connected to each other through social media. They're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they text one another and so on and so forth. But sometimes those digital social interactions only promote loneliness. Isn't that odd? We have thousands of friends on social media, but it just compounds our sense of loneliness. We compare ourselves to other people. How many likes did I get on my photo? She got more than me. And it just compounds our loneliness. Today I want you to think about what it means to be a person of faith who deals with loneliness, and what we feed our souls to compound that loneliness. I heard a story about a woman who lived alone, and she was kind of lonely, and so she decided she would get a parrot, you know, a parrot that she could talk to, and it would talk back to her, and maybe that would help with that sense of loneliness. So she went to the pet store and got a parrot and took it home, put it in the cage, and a week went by, and you know that parrot didn't say a daggone thing, not one word. So she went back to the pet store and talked to the manager. She said, that parrot hasn't spoken yet, and the manager said, well, you really need to get the parrot a ladder. Parrots like to go up and down the ladder. It gives them exercise. They feel better, and they'll start talking. So she bought the ladder, put it in the cage. Another week went past. Not one word. So she went back to the pet store, and she said, I bought that ladder, and that parrot hasn't spoken yet. And he said, well, you really should get that parrot a swing. Parrots like to swing back and forth. It makes them happy, and when they're happy, they talk. And so she bought the parrot a swing, put it in the cage, and she watched for a week as that parrot went up and down the ladder and back and forth on the swing, but never said a word. She went back to the pet store, and she said, that parrot's not talking. He said, well, you need to get the parrot a mirror. Put the mirror in the cage. The parrot will see itself in the mirror, think it's another bird. It'll start talking. She bought the mirror, put it in the cage, watched the parrot go up and down the steps and back and forth on the swing, and looked in the mirror, never said a word. One day the parrot died. Aww. She went back to the pet store and said, "The parrot died." The man at the pet store said, "The parrot died. Did it happen to say anything before it died?" She said, "Actually, it did. It said, 'Don't they sell food down at that pet store?'" See, the point is, we got to learn to feed our souls. We got to learn to feed our souls with the things that combat these feelings. Because our faith is more than a feeling, isn't it? Our faith is based on the facts and the promises of God contained in the Holy Scriptures. Amen? And so when we feel alone, when we feel those feelings of loneliness, we need to go to the promises of God and hear God say to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." So the question I ask for you today is this: how do we deal with loneliness? How are you going to deal with it? We know it's a reality. We know that most of us are going to experience it at some time in our life. How are we going to deal with it? I can imagine Joshua was feeling pretty lonely as he took over the reins of leadership for the Israelites. Now, if you know this story, forgive me for repeating it to you, but Joshua had been with Moses from the beginning. He came out of Egypt. Joshua was one of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the promised land. You remember that story? He sent 12 spies to kind of check out what it was like in the promised land. All 12 come back, and 10 of the spies said, "We can't do it. We can't go in there. They're huge. They'll defeat us." Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, say, "If the Lord is with us, we can do anything." Right? But because there was so much fear in the life of the Israelites, they decided not to go into the promised land at that time. They spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness. Moses passes away. Joshua is the military leader of the nation. He takes over the reins of leadership from Moses. And that's when God speaks into Joshua's life the promises we heard earlier. In fact, I want you to repeat with me what will be on the screen. This is the promise that God made to Joshua. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." God made this promise to Moses. He transferred it to Joshua. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." This is one of those promises of God that's transferable to you. Just as God was with Moses, God was with Joshua. Just as God was with Joshua, God will be with you. Do you believe that today? Amen. So when you feel lonely, when you feel as though you're the only person in the world, when you feel like God has abandoned you, remember God's promises. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, I want to focus the rest of my time with you on the promise. It's really more a commandment that God makes to Joshua. He wants Joshua to do a few things in order to live into this promise, in order to live into the sense that God is with him. He says these things: be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. If I were sitting where you were sitting today, I would circle verse 7 in my Bible, because these are the things that we take with us when we leave church today and put into practice. These are imperatives in Scripture. These are not suggestions. These are written as commands that God gives to Joshua that we read as commands that God gives to us. First is be strong. Be strong. I don't know about you, but when I go through a season of loneliness, I start to throw pity parties for myself. You ever do that? You ever throw a pity party for yourself? "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." And what I've discovered, and it takes me a while to get there, mind you, but what I've discovered is that when I throw those pity parties for myself, the devil rejoices. When I isolate myself from others, when I isolate myself from the promises of God, the devil has me right where he wants me. So you know what I do when I come to my senses in those moments? I pray. I pray, God, draw near me. You promised in your word you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Right now, I'm overwhelmed with feelings of loneliness. I feel like I'm all alone. Remind me today that you're with me. Help me in my sense of weakness and give me your strength. And I'm reminded of what God said to the Apostle Paul, who dealt with issues, who dealt with a thorn in his flesh. And three times, Paul prayed that God would remove that thorn. And you remember what God said to Paul? Remember what he said? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Friends, I know what it's like to feel like you don't have the strength to face what you have to face. But in the midst of our weaknesses, God's strength is made perfect in us. Do you believe that today? It's in those moments that we need to go to prayer. I was singing on the way down here today, that old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. You know that hymn? In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet Hour Prayer. I don't know how you find the strength to continue without prayer. I don't know how we combat feelings of loneliness, feelings of isolation without prayer. Prayer is our lifeline to Jesus. So I've just come by to tell you today to be strong in your faith, to feed your faith through prayer. The second imperative that God says to Joshua in this verse is be courageous. Not only be strong, but be courageous. Courage is one of those things that when we're lonely, we're often afraid, and when we're afraid, we're not courageous. But really, the most courageous among us are the people who decide to step out of faith in the midst of their fear. Does that make sense? All of us are afraid at one time or another. But the courageous people are the ones who step out in the midst of their fear and do what they have to do. I deal with a specific ailment in one of my eyes. It's a retinal condition. I have a retinal scar about right here in my visual field. So first of all, I want to thank you for not sitting up front today, because I wouldn't see you if you sat up here, because I got a blind spot right here. Make me feel like I'm at home here, not sitting in the front pews. I appreciate that. But every once in a while, I have to have a certain kind of treatment with this eye to make sure that it doesn't get worse. And I don't want to scare you here, but sometimes I have to have an injection, a shot in my eye. Yeah, I know. And I remember when the doctor first told me about it, I was not real happy about it, as you can imagine. I was kind of concerned about it, and I was sharing it with some of the people at the church I was serving at the time. And there was a woman who was 100 years old in that church. And she said, I heard that you had to have an injection. She said, honey, I have those all the time. And I thought to myself, well, if this 100-year-old woman can have the injection in her eye all the time, maybe I can muster up some courage and do it myself. See, courage is an attitude that we have to take hold of, isn't it? We have to develop this attitude to be courageous, even in spite of our fears. What I want to remind you today is be courageous in whatever you're facing, knowing that the Lord is with you. Our attitudes affect our behaviors. Do any of you have pets in your house? Anyone have pets? All right. I dog people? Who's my dog people here? Got some dog people? Do we have any cat people? A few of you. All right. I came across... a couple of excerpts from diaries, one from a dog, one from a cat. All right? Now, the dog diary goes a little bit like this. 8:30 a.m., oh boy, breakfast my favorite. 9:30 a.m., oh boy, a walk, my favorite. 11 a.m., the backyard, my favorite. 12:30, lunch, my favorite. 3 p.m., the kids are home from school, my favorite. 5 p.m., dinner, my favorite. 7:30 p.m., TV with the people, my favorite. 10 p.m., in bed with the people, my favorite. The Cat Diary goes a little bit like this. Day 983 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while I have to eat dry cereal. The only thing that keeps me going is my dream of escape. Day 985 of my captivity. Today I decapitated a mouse and dropped it on the front porch in an effort to show them what I'm capable of. Day 990 of my captivity, there was an attempt that I made to assassinate one of my tormentors by weaving in and out of their feet, but it proved unsuccessful. Tomorrow I'll do it at the top of the stairs. Day 995, I'm convinced that the other prisoners here are mere flunkies and snitches. The dog repeatedly is let loose into the backyard and comes home for whatever reason. The bird has got to be an informant. I observe him communicating with the guards regularly, and I am certain he reports on my every move. Currently, he's safe within the metal cage in which they keep him, but it's only a matter of time. Our attitudes make a difference in our behaviors, don't they? We can go through life afraid that we're alone. We can be afraid of what's in front of us. We can be afraid of what tomorrow might bring. Or we can muster up the courage based on the reality of God's promise to us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and step out in courage and do the things that God calls us to do. Be strong, God says to Joshua, and be very courageous, He says to him. Thirdly, He says, be careful to obey the law. The way I would say it is, be careful to obey God. Be careful to obey all that God calls us to do. Sometimes the result of our loneliness is because we haven't been obeying God. We've wandered. We've gone astray. We've missed all the warning signs. We've blown through the stop signs. And we end up at a place we were never intended to be. I have a really good friend. His name is Gene. And Gene and I talk on the phone. He pastors in the western part of the state of Ohio. And I'm in Columbus. And sometimes we'll just talk on the phone. And one day, he was driving towards Dayton. And we got into this conversation. And in the middle of our conversation, I heard Gene say, good Lord, Dave, I'm in Indiana. And I said, what are you doing in Indiana? He said, I missed all my stops. And the reality is, Gene had got to a place in the conversation when he wasn't paying attention to his GPS. He missed, take this exit here. He missed, do the U-turn and come back. He missed, recalculating. He missed all the signs and ended up in a place he never intended to be. We do the same when we don't obey God's laws. The good news is, in Jesus Christ, we can return to God. We can find forgiveness. We can find peace. We can find joy. We can find the presence and promises of God in our relationship with Jesus Christ because of the cross. Amen? I love what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says this, that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. That in Christ, literally, it means God was hugging the world to Himself. Friends, I've just come by to tell you today that if you feel alone, if you feel like you've been abandoned, if you feel like there's no one in your corner, understand the promise of the gospel that in Christ, God is wrapping his arms around you, reconciling you to himself. In that passage, Paul goes on to say that not only has God in Christ reconciled us to himself, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He calls us to go into the world and wrap our arms around the world and hug the world for the sake of Jesus. I probably don't need to remind you of this, but I will. There are countless people in this community who are living alone, who don't know that there is a God who has made a promise to never leave them nor forsake them. There's all kinds of people in your neighborhood who live alone. Now, they may have people in their house. Their house may be full, but they're lonely inside. And they need someone like you to go across that street, to knock on that door and say, can we be neighbors? Can I live in a relationship with you? Now, we don't need to say it that way. But we need to reach out to the world and build relationship with one another and offer the healing grace of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that today? I read this story this week about a woman in Northern California. Her name was Marlene. And Marlene came home to her apartment and found a note that was attached to her door. She later discovered the note was written by a 90-year-old woman who lived just three doors down in her apartment complex. This is what the note said. Would you consider becoming my friend? I am 90 years old and I live alone. My friends have passed away. My family is gone. I'm so lonesome and scared. Please, I pray for someone. Well, Marlene took that note and she discerned who it was that wrote it, and she went down that hallway to that apartment down, just three doors down, and she took her daughter with her. And the picture you'll see on the screen is Marlene and her daughter and their neighbor Wanda. Wanda is the lady that wrote that note. Wanda realized that she was at the end of her rope. She was so lonely. She needed someone. And so she took a step of faith to reach out to an unknown neighbor to see if they could be friends. And Marlene and her daughter have sort of adopted Wanda as part of their family. You see, that's what Christians do, isn't it? We go across the street. We knock on the door. We build relationships, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, so that others in the world might know his grace and know his promise of hope and peace, and that they too might come to that realization that God has been reconciling the world to himself, and they're part of that promise. My challenge to you today is that if you're here this morning dealing with feelings of loneliness, you're not alone. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And instead of just looking inward and dealing and fighting that battle of loneliness, reach out to your neighbors. Build relationships with others. And share the loving grace of Jesus Christ with them. When you do that, watch what God will do. Let's pray.